You're listening to Esprit Radio.
Welcome to the neighborhood.
That's right. Welcome to our neighborhood. Welcome to Black on Black Crime, our point counterpoint program where we talk issues, news. Sometimes we play a game or two, but we don't do crime. If you're not familiar with our program, Black on Black Crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider anyone else. You can join in on today's topic by calling in or sending your comments in the chat room. With that being said, on with the show.
Welcome again to Black on Black Crime. You know, it is around that time again. For those who are in the chat room, just want to say hey. And if you're on the line, you can always hit one on the line to join in. If this is your first time here, again, welcome. Black on Black Crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider anyone else. You can always check us out in the archives at espritradio.soulofsyracuse.com. And if you want to email us, you can send your comments to bobc@soulofsyracuse.com. Our last show, we talked about former NBA player Charles Barkley versus Kenny the Jet Smith. We'll probably still talk about that. That's just a little bit more fallout that we have and did not discuss in that program. We also have the public undressing of Dr. Bill Cosby was on the last show as well. And again, if you want to call in and comment on that, we may talk about that as well. We have the news and entertainment and other stuff on that program. Now, on this program, still profiling is our main topic. Police departments versus black people, just across the board. It's a new discussion about what's going on in the world, and we thought it would be good for us to talk about. So let's make it hot, and we can talk about that. We also have Jada Pinkett Smith. She made a statement about ending violence in the community will stop police brutality. I just want to discuss that and see how that goes. To me, Jada's not committing a black-on-black crime, but that will be for you to decide. We have that. And at the movies, Exodus, Gods and Kings with no black main characters. We'll talk about that. And the Aaliyah movie that Wendy Williams produced. I'm sure Vanessa is going to yell about this. So I want to welcome you again onto the show for Black on Black Crime and tell you our number, our dialing number tonight is 909-265-9189. That's 909-265-9189. I was about to start without saying this. Our co-host, Kai Sims, today is Kai's birthday. So I didn't cue up any happy birthday music, and I am not going to sing. So just want to say happy birthday to Kai. Hopefully Kai is going to jump in and still not, you know, celebrating it from the birthday weekend. We normally start the show with a little bit of news and information to get you up to date on what's going on in the world. So we're going to start with a little bit of news before our first break. Healthcare.gov. For anybody who wants to switch their health care, if your health care costs have gone up and you want to change or check out the marketplace, healthcare.gov is open for a second enrollment season. It has already begun. And under the Affordable Care Act, some of the premiums are going to go up for this year, about 5%. The administration is saying that if you shop the marketplace, you can possibly find better rates than you did before. So just want to make sure that we put that out there to say shop the marketplace, because if your rates have gone up, it's normal that healthcare companies actually do raise their rates every year. Also, I wanted to say that the enrollment period does not end till March. Had to think of what that was, but it is March that the healthcare enrollment period ends. So the administration is expecting 9.1 million people to be signed in for health insurance from the government website by March. Now, also, you know, since we do have entertainment, today's Kai's birthday, but it also, in 1925, Sammy Davis Jr. also had a birthday on this day. And this day, the first woman to graduate college, Lucy Ann Stanton, black woman, completed her 2-year ladies course and received a Bachelor's of Literature degree from Oberlin College in Ohio on this day. And also, President Lincoln issued his proclamation on amnesty and reconstruction for the restoration of the Confederate States into the Union. Now, here's what he did. He offered them a full pardon and restoration of their rights if they were willing to take the oath of loyalty to the Union and accept the end of slavery. He did that on this day. By the way, that was an executive order for those people who think that presidents didn't sign executive orders until President Obama. Now, the White House legend that is President Obama and the First Lady Michelle Obama romance is heading to the screen. Now, there's a drama that's going to be shot called Southside With You. It's a drama in the vein of Before Sunset, if you know what that is. It chronicles the summer of 1989, another summer, if you know what I mean, the afternoon when the future president of the United States wooed the First Lady to their epic first date in Chicago's South Side. Get On Up, which is a James Brown biopic, Tamika Sumpter, who was in that movie, and she was in Ride Along and a bunch of other movies, One Life to Live, actually soap opera she was on, but she played a lot of roles. She will be one of the executive producers on this project, and the film is set to begin in July and shooting in Chicago. Now, she is playing the First Lady, if I didn't mention that. Tamika Sumpter is playing the First Lady, but they have not cast the president yet, so that should be interesting to see. Now, the Central Park Five, a group of teens who were falsely accused in 1989, good Lord, it's the same summer, right? I wonder who's playing Public Enemy in the presidential With You. I wonder who's playing Public Enemy in that drama. Anyway, because their first date, by the way, they actually went to see Do the Right Thing, is where this is coming from. But the Central Park Five is in the news again. The group of teens who were falsely accused in 1989 of raping a Central Park jogger and wrongfully imprisoned won $41 million settlement in New York City just 6 months ago. Now they're pursuing another $52 million in damages from the state, and that's in court right now. So we'll have to see how that goes. And the greatest of all times, this is kind of an internet story that's out there, but the greatest of all time, Muhammad Ali, and one of the greatest rappers, I guess I can say that, about Snoop, they sat next to each other in a recent high school game over the weekend where Ali's grandson, Bigelow Walsh, it's his daughter's son, and Snoop's son, Cordell Broadus, dominated the field, scoring 2 touchdowns each and becoming Nevada's high school state champions. Now, Snoop and Ali sat together at the game in Reno. It was in Reno, Nevada, as Bishop Gorman High School earned a 70-28 victory over Reed High. So just wanted to put that out there and just say some other things that are going on in the world and welcome you again onto the show. But before I go any further, let's bring in Finesse just to see what Finesse is up to. How you doing, young fella?
Oh, good, good. I want to say good morning because I've been gone so long. But good evening. What's going on, Ron?
Nothing much, man. I was going to say you sound a little drained. I tried to give you a breather before we got into the show because you know we're going to yell.
Well, you know, it's always a busy time, and there's some breaking news. And I just want to throw that in there because of the course of the last 2 days, what we've been talking about is race relations. And I don't know if you saw Derrick Rose this weekend wore a T-shirt in pregame warm-ups that said, "I can't breathe," in honor of Eric Garner. Well, now Adam Silver says, "I would prefer that athletes not wear T-shirts that make political statements."
Yikes.
You were doing good. You were doing good, Silver.
Silver was doing great. And he's about to have everybody on his side, you know, when it came to the LA Clippers racist owner, but he's gonna cross the line with them. I see this.
Well, see, here's the issue. You know, the owners want all this racism to go underneath, get rid of it. They don't want to see any new thing because it's getting in the way of business. But you can't. And I saw somebody this morning on ESPN, I think, that said, you know, athletes, no matter if they're black or white, should be involved if they have a political statement, if they feel strongly about something. And we've seen this throughout the decades. it's only now that advertisers, which advertisers run media, they want to dictate what's being said and done. And they don't like when the majority of sports, you know, the major sports are black, are black power,
right.
I should say. They don't want, they want the black athlete to be silent. Just play ball and shut up. But there are plenty of white athletes who come out and speak on things. When Michael Vick and the dog situation, there was so many PSAs, so many comments from, so many protests from white athletes that it's a shame that, you know, here we are, if something is what we're talking about, police brutality, and none of the white athletes spoke out. And we did have black athletes who spoke out on cruelty to animals. So it's funny how the league, these leagues, they want the black athletes to just be people that make their money, put the ball in the basket or through the goal post or whatever it is, and don't say anything else because we could care less. We just want you to do this and make money. And I think it should become a political stance on silver because you just can't say that because you don't know what it's like.
Right.
You don't know what it's like to be profiled. And for you to tell somebody you can't wear a shirt, well, how about we don't play the next game?
Now, if you're listening to the show online, one of the banners, I think it's the second one, is a banner with Rose, and the other player is someone from, thinking it's the Cincinnati Bengals, but both of those guys put on shirts. Rose did it first, and then there was other athletes doing Sunday's games, started putting on shirts as well. This is going to be an interesting fight to see if you can silence the people who are being brutalized, right? They're young black men. I don't care if they're athletes or not. They're young black men. It doesn't hinder them from doing their job, and we're going to watch them fight. Their union is going to have to fight this, that they're saying that they can't wear T-shirts before games.
I would like to see the athletes say, you know what? Well, we're not going to play tonight's game, and then you get back to us after that.
Right. Every time somebody, a young black man, gets shot, we're just going to boycott. We're going to call in sick. Now,
right.
If they tried that out for size, hey, we should have sick time, too. We got a union.
Right.
I don't feel like it. This group of athletes, I think from just watching what they did in the Clippers saga, showed that they did have the heart to do it. There was a, you know, a little nuance in the circumstances is that they were in the playoffs, so it didn't take all of the NBA to opt out of it because other people are probably going to say they want their checks. But the playoff teams were really committed to stepping out of there. So it's interesting to see how this goes. Adam Silver is treading on thin ice on this one.
Oh, he's not even thin ice. He's already fell through the ice in my book.
Well, you know how the Charles Barkley's of the world is going to be, right? They're like, Adam did something earlier, so he must be okay.
You know, I know it's just an owner's move to say, hey, we don't need no more of that. Let's put it behind us. We see where we almost lost business and sponsorship, the Clippers. So what? Where are the owners out? Where are some of these owners on these topics? Why are you not speaking out? Because these same young black boys that grow up and want to play for your organizations, why are you not sticking out for them? And see, this is what I have a problem when we don't step back and look at the big picture. We got to look at the big picture and saying, you know what, they're not doing what's, you know, they're not hearing our words. Where's Nike on this? As many athletes, as many kids you got out here spending $200 on these sneakers, where are you at? Where are your Nike stop the violence or stop the police for brutality signs? Where are you, Nike?
And later on the show, as we talk about our main topics for the day, there are some athletes that did step up, so we're going to acknowledge them. Go ahead.
And let me give props to John Legend, who today bought protesters in New York lunch with the food trucks. Not only did he support the protesters and support a cause, but he also supported local business by going to the food trucks. He didn't go to a McDonald's or KFC or some big chain. He went straight to the local food trucks in the area and bought food for the protesters. Props to John Legend on that.
You are stepping on the show because I did have that down that he did that when we talked about that. But John Legend was another one. We talk about that often, how, you know, these guys aren't stepping up to the plate and pretty much taking care of each other and just saying, hey, when a crisis like that happens in the black community, there are black people who have resources, and so they need to step up and do what they need to do. Just wanted to say that.
He didn't go to his, He didn't go to his record label and say, hey, can I do this? Or whatever people are sponsoring, say, hey, I'm going to do this. He just went and did it.
Right. All right. We're going to talk about that and more. We're going to take a quick break and come back. Black on Black Crime. Hey, you can call us. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to talk about still profiling the police department versus black people. And at the movies, Exodus, we want to talk about that movie and the Aaliyah movie. So we'll be back.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
If I got to go to college, oh my goodness. I like discovering new things. You get to see what works for you and what doesn't. That helps you evolve as a person. You get to make like a supernova of skill or talent or whatever it is. I've always wanted to go to college. I just feel like that's my destiny. My name is Queen, and I am your dividend.
Are you an inventor who would like to try to have an invention or idea patented and submitted to companies? Call for free information from InventHelp. InventHelp, a leading inventor service company, has been helping inventors since 1984 and has sales offices located in more than 60 cities nationwide. You'll want to talk to the company that has helped secure more than 7,000 invention patents.
Get your free inventor's information by dialing 1-800-413-5602. That's 1-800-413-5602.
Hi, everyone. I'm Eric Spoelstra of the Miami Heat and a member of the NBA Fit team. I'm here today at the White House to find out why eating healthy can help you perform like a champion.
Well, I eat fruits and vegetables every day because it gives me the energy I need to perform at the top of my game.
Thanks, Dwayne. What about you, Ray?
Drinking water is an important part of my pregame routine so I can stay focused and refreshed.
And you can take it from me. Eating the right food can help make you a better athlete.
Oh! Painful!
Oh! Oh!
Dove Men Plus Care presents How to Stay in Shape. Step one, gotta work those arms.
How was it?
Good. Step two, keep those legs strong. And step three, don't forget your back. Dove Men Plus Care. Care for what matters.
All right, welcome back to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host. I'm here with Finesse, co-hosting Finesse. On today's show, we're talking about, hey, Finesse, I had to start with, they don't really care about us. Just in honor of Michael Jackson.
That's fitting going into this next topic.
Exactly. I didn't know if we needed it coming out of the topic or going into it. But on this program, we're talking about the police department versus black people, because that's how they see black folks. It's not us. They're still profiling. And also, Jada Pinkett Smith made a statement about ending violence in the community will stop police brutality. I just want to discuss that. We're not jumping on her. But first, before we get into any of those topics, here is a topic that I thought, okay, this may be something that we should talk about. It's segment is called At the Movies. Now, we're going to start with the movie Exodus, God and King. Now, you know, the biblical film Exodus, God and King has come under fire for, you know, white actors being cast in main roles as Egyptians. But the director, Ridley Scott, has a message for those trying to boycott the movie. I think he's talking to you, Finesse. He says, get a life, is what director Ridley Scott said for anybody boycotting. Scott said that he had to assemble the best possible cast on a budget of this scale. The film cost an estimated $140 million. And early on, several months ago, Ridley Scott said he couldn't get the film financed with leading black characters. And now he's changing his role. Now that he got it financed and made, he's saying, get a life. There's been a bunch of Twitter feedback and Twitter users urging a boycott of the Exodus movie. I know that's been chatter going back and forth. They're calling it offensive and unacceptable that the white actors are playing the role of Egyptians. I'll start off there. Vanessa, what do you think about the movie Exodus? And no, I'm sorry, Ridley Scott's attitude with Exodus.
I could care less. Because I'm going to tell you, just like Exodus means exit, I'm just exiting the conversation, exiting from screening the movie. I'm not doing anything with it. I mean, the one thing, having that freedom to be able to say yes or no to a movie where I'm not baited into, well, we need you to, you have to review this movie. And I said that once I got to that position, there are certain things I wasn't going to do. I'm not doing any demonistic movies, and I'm not doing movies with that tell lies. This Exodus movie is just a lie from looking at it. Christian Bale is the whitest as can be. Everyone else is trying to look like they're from that area. But, even from looking at the trailer, it looks like a biblical Batman version of a movie. It doesn't even look like what's in the Bible. Yeah, you may change things up for whatever, but we already did that with Charlton Heston in the Ten Commandments. There's no need for somebody to do this again with Exodus. And I'm not hearing it. I mean, I didn't like what I saw. I didn't like the comments, Ridley Scott. And even Kristen Slater? Yeah, it's Slater, right?
Kristen Bale. No, you said Bale. Kristen Bale.
Okay, Kristen Bale. Kristen Bale had some comments, too, that he thought that it wasn't God. That God wasn't the one that caused the Red Sea to collapse. It was some other stuff. I said, you know what? I'm not even getting I would be a hypocrite to review a movie and send people to a movie that I myself don't believe in.
Let alone all of the churches and those guys going to see a movie where the heathen is the lead character. Because technically, if he don't believe in what he's doing, he's going to get what you're...
The director is a heathen, too. This ain't Ridley Scott's first foray, because I believe he directed Noah.
Yes, I think he did.
For Ridley Scott. That's all I got to say.
Now, actor Kristen Bale, who plays Moses, said about Ridley that he's been incredibly honest in getting a large, big-budget film like this made. He said he understands the controversy over the film's casting choices, though he sees the business side of it. And he said he
Ridley
just couldn't
Scott
pass
ain't Spike
it up.
Lee. Ridley Scott ain't Spike Lee. Spike Lee have a hard time getting money, and even though Spike Lee
exactly.
make money. So Ridley Scott could get away from here with all that crap. He had a heart. So Isaiah Washington, you would get on the budget. So you mean Isaiah Washington couldn't play Moses, Aaron, or something?
Right. That was my question. He's saying that he wouldn't be able to get financing for black lead characters, but I say he didn't hire most of those people until he got financing.
That just, you know what? What Ridley Scott said is what we all knew. He finally said something. That white Hollywood
do not fund black movies. We knew that part.
So now he just admitted it. So thank you, Ridley, for coming out and saying it, because I heard this during Red Tails. Now, Lucas did say
Lucas.
He said they wouldn't back it because it's black film, so he took his own money. See, Ridley ain't saying that. Hollywood ain't going to spend no money on no black folks, and neither am I. So this white version of Exodus is what you get, along with Batman. So call it an action-packed, biblical Batman movie, because that's exactly what it is.
And I think it should be across the board. We are doing black on black crime across the board. I am going to say that that's a crime against black people. Just in doing that, if you keep putting up white images that you know are black, you are actually intentionally deceiving black folks. And in the spirit of what we do for this show, that is no go. I am not supporting it at all. So support the boycott.
Or anybody of color from that region, Arab. So, I mean, Zoe Saldana, who will play a role, you couldn't get her? She couldn't be Miriam? Something?
No, that's the point. Like, they didn't use anybody of color, right? So not only did you not even come close, now, because Zoe Saldana will sell a movie. I mean, you can't say that her main character in Avatar. I know she was blue pretty much the whole thing, but you can't say that her acting skills is not there to give her a big budget role like she did in, what was it, Star Trek or something. Like, she's been in big movies. So I don't think people who fund movies are going to be mad at her in particular.
No.
So I'm sure there was a lot of people that he could have gotten that he's just using as an excuse. But what he's saying is he's showing the true face of Hollywood. Hollywood does not fund movies that put black people in starring roles unless they're laughing and cracking jokes.
And so really, Scott Cooper, see, that's why I have props for George Lucas. He put up his own
money.
Yeah. I'm going to do this Red Tails movie. I'm gonna put up my own money. So really, you couldn't put up your own money?
No. Yeah, I don't think that was the route that he was taking. He was like, no, we're not doing that.
All right.
Now,
well, on to the next.
Wait a minute. Now, there were some internet comments about this. One Twitter user said that I'll be boycotting Exodus, and so should everyone else. They should tell Hollywood that whitewashing is sick and unacceptable, while others called the casting of Bale as offensive. Just offensive.
Yeah.
And we have another one that expressed their issues with the casting just by putting out the hashtag #boycott Exodus movie.
You know what? I'm gonna say this like I do the open letters. Don't talk about it. Just do it. Don't hashtag boycott nothing. Just don't show up. He'll get the Hollywood will start getting it. You don't have a ton of money. You got common sense. You say, you know what? Me and my crew, whether it be your family, your girlfriend, your boys, or your homegirls, just don't go.
No,
don't
you know what?
It, just don't go.
Right. Don't go. But I want them to take it a step further. That if somebody tries to get you to pacify them and say, did you go see it? Say, no, I'm not going. Like, you need to be forceful about the fact that that's offensive.
Well, and that's when you do it, when they put the TV cameras in your face, when they go and see, try to figure out, why is no one going to see this great biop? And that's when they stick a camera in my face, and I'm going to tell them exactly how I feel. But we don't need to put it all on Twitter or say nothing. We just need to go ahead. Yeah, mm-hmm, you put out the movie. Don't even waste your 140 characters.
Oh, I know it. I know. Now, here's one that's actually funny to me. They said not only are these characters who are supposed to be African white, they are not even remotely Chan, and they're pearly white, is what this guy wrote. So, hey.
Can we talk about Guardians of the Galaxy? Go see that, folks. That's a great movie. It's on DVD right now. Pick it up.
Guardians of the Galaxy?
Oh,
it's a better movie.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, cool.
New one comes out in 2016.
All right, well.
I told you I had nothing for Exodus.
So you're
exit
selling
out
another
of that
movie?
Conversation. I'll sell another movie.
All right, hold on. Well, let's go to the phone lines. We have someone up. I just want to say welcome on to Black on Black Crime. Sorry for laughing, but finesse is killing me. All right, welcome to the show. Oh, this is Sean. What's up, man?
Hey, how you doing? What's going on?
Good. Well, good, man.
Thanks for allowing me to be on your show, man. I really appreciate it. It's a great show.
Oh, you should be hanging more often. There's a lot of things we're going to cover when it gets down to the profiling, and as a professional having a business and conflict resolution, police officers need conflict resolution more than anybody else. So I hopefully you'll chime in on that one and give us some insight on what we should be kind of projecting out to them, because apparently they don't know what they're doing.
Yes.
What up, Sean?
Hey, what's up, Finesse? How you doing, man?
I figured Finesse didn't know who it was when I said Sean.
I sure didn't.
Well, Rome, he's definitely right when he's talking about the conflict that pertains to the police officers. But let's just go back. You guys were talking about the movies and
yes.
The directors. I don't even know these movies. I don't even know half these movies you guys are talking about. And I guess that if these movies are not made for us, then there's no reason for us to go. You know, because I truly believe
right.
that they have a target population that they're trying to reach, and if we're not the target population, why spend our money with them?
That's a good point. And a part of the problem is we believe, I guess, when you're selling, whitewashing, when you're selling oppression, what happens, you just put stuff out there and you think that we are all supposed to gravitate towards it. But
true.
When somebody tells
true.
You the truth about what you're watching, then we have to kind of speak up as a community. Because the children coming behind us are acting like, how come we didn't tell them?
Right.
That would be my
let
point.
Me, let, me, let, let me throw this out there, and I can't name, because of my associate, I can't name businesses, but there's a business that we went to talk to about advertising for the newspaper, and this is what they essentially told us. Black people are going to come support us regardless, so they're not our target audience, so we can't see spending money with you. So that's the attitude that they have. So everything they put out is aimed toward us because they know that our people are going to come see it. So we have to be careful, and we have to let people know when BS movies like Exodus come out, yo, this is what it's about. Don't go see it. In my position as somebody that reviews stuff for TV, radio, and print, I have to be the one that says, you know what, I ain't reviewing it because I'm not giving them my time. They don't get a grade from me. I just don't do it.
There's no other way to put this, but when the director says blatantly this is not for you and I can care less, don't go see it.
Just like I said, Guardian of the Galaxy has come out in 2016. If you didn't see part one, make sure you pick it up. It's out on DVD. I'm not promoting that other movie. They didn't get nothing.
Hey, I'm with Sean on this one. I don't go see half those movies when it comes to big blockbusters generally. So I don't have a feeling about supporting Ridley Scott. But if you do, just know that he's intentionally doing that. And that, we talked about this. If you want to see a real map of the world, you can look at the Peters projection map. It's the actual landmass of the Earth. But we look at this Mercator map or whatever it's called, and nobody says, oh, that's not how the world is shaped. That's not what a landmass is. But we still live that lie. So somebody has to call them out when it's time.
That's right.
All right. Sean, you can hang out. I'm going to leave your mic open, so you might want to put us on mute if you want to go away. But we're going to leave it on so that you can come in on any of this stuff. All right?
Okay. I appreciate it.
All right. And our next movie that we want to talk about. Wait a minute. You wanted to go to the Wendy Williams Aaliyah movie, didn't you, Finesse? I didn't see it. And,
I saw that
It was a made-for-TV movie for the late singer Aaliyah, who passed away in a plane accident. So the family apparently was not really supporting the movie. That's why the movie didn't have Aaliyah songs that were made by Timberland and Missy. But I think they did some of the songs from R. Kelly, so they probably got permission to use those songs. Wendy Williams was one of the executive producers on that project that was on VH1. And, again, I watched it, but I'll let Finesse go from there before I give my opinion.
Well, first of all, this is not a biography on Aaliyah. It was no approval from the family. People like Missy, Timberland, even R. Kelly, those folks were not consulted. So, and if you know Wendy Williams, you know, I give her props for doing her show and doing her thing, but Wendy Williams is the kind of person that just says stuff and starts stuff. So she got the rights to this book that was written by somebody else, and they put out this movie that was nowhere factual. Not even the casting was correct. They had somebody that was supposed to be Missy Elliott look nothing like Missy. Missy in her life ain't never been skinny. Never.
You know, that was the biggest complaint on social media was that the Missy Elliott character was so badly cast that it was distracting.
Yeah, it was. It was distracting. The storyline of her and R. Kelly, which no one knows if that's true or false. We all have our speculations, but she harped on that for so long that, you know, trying to make people believe it. It was a poorly directed, poor acting. I feel sorry for the actors that are in it because they took the parts so they could be discovered. But sometimes, again, you just have to say no when it's not right. You just can't go in and just say, well, just because I want to get paid. Right. The movie was just horrible. And it was the most watched show or movie on a cable network.
Was it really?
It set records.
I didn't know the ratings were that high.
Oh, yeah. But it was horrible, and that's what everybody said later on. And Timberland, if you follow Timberland on Twitter or Facebook, brother went off on this film.
Did he?
And then he
I was
yeah,
wondering what
and
he
then
thought
he
about
went
it.
On, oh, no, he went off. There's stuff I can't even say. Then he went on Power 105 out of New York, and he slammed it some more. So, you know, but this is Wendy's M.O., and this is why I was shocked. That not only did, and I know the Soul Train Music Awards is taped, so maybe it was taped before this came out, because there's no way they would have kept her as the host of the show. But that was a that was the worst movie I ever seen. It was nothing but a bunch of lies. You know, this girl was looking like Aaliyah before Aaliyah really knew what her style was and what she wanted to do. That's my playing Dame and Dash that didn't look like Dame. I mean, it was just horrible, man. And I don't and that's a movie I wouldn't recommend nobody seeing. Not on Netflix, not on Hulu, not on PBS, not on, you know, your local least access channel. Avoid that movie at all costs.
Yeah, I think I ended up watching the movie because it was on that station, and before I was able to get to remote to change it, it was on for about 15 minutes, and I just kept watching it. So it was a draw to me to watch, but I wasn't happy that I saw it.
Again, you know, that was a movie I said, you know what, I'm not doing a review. I refuse to put out garbage. My reputation is on the line. I'm not going to tell people, you know, this and that about a movie. So I didn't review it. So I'm telling people now, just don't go see it. Don't watch.
Wait, and I didn't see the Soul Train Music Awards. What happened with Wendy Williams on there? Now, first I want to say this. I had a problem with her. Her whole style is being tabloid. And when you see tabloid or reality show people, the Kardashian of the world, and you start legitimizing them with real live award show stuff, I have a problem with that. I couldn't watch it because Wendy Williams is on there. She's not believable, and she's too made up. She brags about her, you know, breast surgery and all this. She's made up. It reminds me of Digital Underground's No Nose Job, right, and where Shock G says, she's only 6, but why does she need another nose kind of thing? Wendy Williams is selling surgery to people. That's what she's selling. She's like a walking billboard. She overdid it.
Right.
She's over the top. And that is what we're consuming now. And so Soul Train just messed up as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I think when you think of Soul Train, you think of Don Cornelius, you think of Class. And
right.
I think that if you're going to have a host for that, and this is our show, this one time a year, for the Soul Train Awards, we need to have some class. We need to have somebody that can, you know, that presents class. I would love to see Arsenio or Donnie Simpson host it.
Yes.
I know Donnie Simpson would be like a crossing it line because he was doing video Soul BET. But we're talking about we need to keep alive Soul Train the way it needs to be done. I'll tell you the second thing I would like to see. I think unless your tail is performing on stage, I would love to see our brothers and sisters in dressed up. I don't want to see you know, to see these dudes coming in with their pants hanging low, these awful colors. I think it's the one time of year where we really need to show the world that we could be classy and come classy. I just thought Wendy was a horrible job. I know how Wendy has offended so many people in Hollywood, especially black actors and black actresses.
And artists.
I just like, so how would you, that's like, if Don Cornelius could get up, he probably would slap somebody for having him be the host. And I'm not hating on, and listen, I ain't hating on Wendy. Wendy do whatever she got to do to get there with whatever she got. I give her props. But there's certain
she's
things
she's very successful
she
in what she does.
Doing. Yeah, right. There's certain things that she shouldn't be doing, and host of the Soul Train Music Awards as well.
She's made a career out of tabloid journalism. That's what
right.
she does. Gossip. She's offended many. There's been many people, and I'm not going to start naming artists, but who's wanted to go down to the station and beat her up. Like, she's had those kind of confrontations because of her gossip. She thinks that she has a right to put out everybody's business kind of thing. So they didn't bring class to Soul Train. They just degraded it for little kids, to me.
Right.
I think that's where it went.
And performances, let me tell everybody, folks, Soul Train Music Awards has always been lip sync, so it should be no surprise when the award show came on and you had some of your favorite artists, even Jodeci, even though it was a live recorded track that they were lip syncing to. Mr. Dalvin, I believe Devontae's mics were live sometimes during the part of the show, but again, it did show that the old school artists that performed, they had the ladies' night with Little Kim, Missy. They even did the video and showed Left Eye performing her part. Anything that was old school. They rock. Right. They killed it. The new school artists, they have no clue about performance. They have no clue
they don't have
about
any clue about the cover. Live performance?
Nah. No, they don't.
That's funny.
So, you know, again, we should be using Soul Train as a chance to educate, as a chance to show us in a different light. Our performances need to be top-notch, and they need to go back to being live. And we just need to – and I didn't like the way it ended. I think it was only an hour and a half, and it just ended all of a sudden. We need to show some of those other awards instead of telling us to go online to see who won. I still haven't done that yet, and I'm a freaking entertainment reporter. But I just, well, you know, you ain't going to tell me right then and there. I ain't going to run it down because I was so disappointed with the way the Soul Train Music Awards looked. I did
now,
love the,
I have
like,
to,
like I said, I love the old school, but I didn't like the new school.
Yeah, I have to confess that when you do news, like when you're looking at news stories all day, there are a couple of sources, and BBC is one of them. They will not hold your secret. It is BBC's policy that they're going to tell everything that they're reporting on. So when Soul Train happened, they didn't show it for like 3 weeks later or something like that. On the night that they taped it, I saw all of the winners and stuff. So I didn't, the BBC won't hold your information. If you go look at BBC, they'll tell you everybody's business right at that spot, opposed to you waiting. So I don't remember because once the show came on, I forgot all about what happened 3 weeks ago.
I will tell you this, as long as Soul Train happens next year, we'll be calling in the Black on Black Crime live from the taping because we'll be there.
Okay, we'll call in live, and I know we're going to have to make some noise about it. And hopefully Wendy Williams won't be there.
Please don't.
That is a shame. All right, you're listening to Black on Black Crime. Let's take a break. We're going to come back because we have to go into our main topic today. It's still profiling, the police department versus black people. We need to discuss that. We want to talk about Jada Pinkett Smith, her statement about ending violence in the community would stop police brutality. She didn't commit a black-on-black crime, but I'll put this in context a little later. I just want to say thank you for joining us, and you can call in 909-265-9189, or you can check us out S3Radio.SolarSyracuse.com. We will be right back after this message.
Hi, I'm LeBron James. I know how important it is to take care of yourself, your friends, and your family. That's why I want to tell you about the health insurance marketplace at healthcare.gov. You can go there to find an affordable health plan as part of the health care law. The deadline to enroll is March 31st, so sign up now. You never know when you might take a hit. Spread the word and get covered today.
When it came to hot water, we were house divided.
That is until we switched to Tide cold water.
When we did laundry, Junior here couldn't take his usual two-hour hot shower.
Call hygiene.
Now with Tide cold water, we've reached a truce because we get a great clean and cold.
Saving the hot water for Captain Prunehands here.
Rip Van Winkle.
Sir Rent-a-Lot.
The Dean of Steam.
Lord of the Loofah. Don't leave. Where are you going?
Wonder why I take long showers.
Tide. Better cold water clean than the bargain brand and warm.
That's my Tide. What's yours?
I am a volleyball coach. I was uninsured. It wasn't until I suffered a mild concussion that I said, yeah, I think I better look into this. I went on to the health insurance marketplace. I signed up. It was very simple. I was able to find one that's under $100 a month, and it has dental. It can fit with whatever budget I have month to month. I'm very elated about it.
Don't wait. Sign up by March 31st so you're covered for 2014.
That's insane.
Yep, and you can customize it. I can download anything I want.
Seriously? That's a lot of music.
Seriously?
That's insane.
And it's $15 a month for the family.
Seriously? That's a lot of gold rope.
Seriously? That's a signature look. You don't have a signature look, honey. That's a signature look.
Only AT&T brings you Beats Music. Unlimited downloads for up to 5 accounts and 10 devices. All for $14.99 a month.
Susie is dying to meet you.
Oh, steer clear of Kristen. She can't control herself around chocolate. She'll devour you.
Really?
I'd be a terrible friend if I didn't warn you. Gotta go.
Yeah, thanks for introducing us.
Anything for a friend.
Ooh, strong grip.
Ow!
So, you want to grab a bite somewhere?
Here's fine.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Ah!
Welcome back to Black on Black Crime. You can call in and join us, 909-265-9189. I'm on with Finesse, and we have, you know, our professional consultant in conflict resolution. Sean is on hanging out with us today, so just want to say what's up, and you can join us, hit one on the line if you want to come in. And remember, if you want to send us an email, you can just send it to bobc@solarsyracuse.com, or you can check out our Facebook page at Facebook.com/BOBC show. All right, I think I got those in there. What's going on, Finesse?
What up?
All right, see, we started the show off a little light for you so that we can yell. I had to make sure you got your way back.
You know, before we go any further, let me give props to Sean and his family. I did it on Facebook, and I forgot that the Syracuse Banner was the very first media outlet that ever gave me an opportunity to work in media. So I was tracing back my history. I was like, wow, this was not only the first media, but it was the first black media I ever worked for, Syracuse Banner. And I got to get a copy of that so I can hang that in my office.
I said your copy is on its way.
I appreciate it. And thanks for your family for letting me get down. They taught me a lot. Your brother Mark taught me a lot.
Good. I'm glad to hear that, man. I definitely want to also say that, you know, the Syracuse Banner was definitely a great outlet for the community. And, you know, let's not forget the other ones. You know, there was the Syracuse Gazette, you know, the Impartial Citizen, and there was many more before that. And, you know, what we're trying to do now is trying to archive that history so people can know all the black newspapers and black media outlets that were around years ago, you know, for the community.
Yeah, I know it was a very big part of my life, that's for sure.
Since we're talking about black papers, I do want to send major blessing out to Ed Moss. I know Ed Moss passed a while, but the Pride paper, as Sean knows, as much as I fought Ed not to do interviews in that paper, I actually found the 2-page big spread interview he did of me when I first launched one of the websites, and I thought it was actually a pretty good article. You know, I despised it for years. I just didn't want to do it. But I'm glad that I actually did it thinking about that. So Pride and all the other great publications, along with Sean's publications.
Well, I remember Ed did a piece on me, too, with Black Expo. And it was like, you know, I didn't want to do it at the time, but I think it was, you know, our growth, you know, as we were growing in our sense of business and community, that, you know, print newspaper was definitely important for the community, you know. And he's the one that, you know, put both of us out there at that time.
Yeah.
So let me ask you, has there ever been thought to bring back the Banner?
Yeah, there was a thought. Brother Mark actually took over the Banner years ago, but discontinued it. I started my own newspaper around 2007, but found that running a newspaper every 30 days is a very, very challenging job. It's no joke, man. That's why I give Ed Moss and my father, man, all that credit. Running a newspaper every 30 days, man, is no joke.
Yeah. Well, if ever it comes back, y'all, you guys can have my column. I would love to contribute.
Cool.
Later on the show, we're going to do a news story about one of the black media outlets suing AT&T and DirecTV because of how they treat 100% owned black media companies. But we'll talk about that a little later in the show. Now, we know that that's always a problem, and all of us are in the media news business, and we can't sugarcoat the fact that we are marginalized just like we are with society at large. Now, our main topic on the show today, we're just going to dive into it. It is the profiling from the police departments versus black people. So they're still profiling, and we know this with the case of Michael Brown. He was shot by Officer Wilson, Darren Wilson, six times in Ferguson this past August. The officer was not indicted on that case. It spurred protests around the country. He didn't face any consequences. Business owner Eric Gardner was killed in Staten Island, New York, this past July when Officer Pantaleo put him in a chokehold while attempting to arrest him, but I think he was just trying to subdue him. The chokehold has been banned by the New York City Police Department since 1993. Gardner's death was captured on video and declared a homicide, yet he wasn't indicted. So in the wake of the refusal to indict Darren Wilson and Daniel Pantaleo for those murders, you know, the 18-year-old Michael Brown and business owner Eric Gardner, Kings County, Brooklyn District Attorney Kenneth Thompson began to put together a grand jury to decide the fate of Peter Lang. Now, this man shot and killed a 28-year-old, Akai Gurley. Their funeral was this past weekend where he was with his girlfriend in an apartment complex in the hallway, and a rookie policeman came in and shot him dead. Now, Thompson, who is African-American and whose mother was a NYPD officer, said that he just pledged to conduct a full and fair investigation to give the grand jury all the information necessary to do their job. I don't even know where to go with this as a topic, but it just seems like we know that this is not anything new from our community, that the police are preying on that. It's just since it's in the news, we really need to talk about the fact that it's a us against them perspective when it comes to the police force. What do you guys think about police versus black people generally?
I'm gonna answer it, but then I want to ask Sean a question because he does that conflict resolution. It's based off the information I gathered from talking to black officers here in Baltimore, in D.C., and Virginia. And then when I hear other black officers come out, they're coming out and they're saying how, you know, in the academy, these white officers are taught or if made reference to black males, then they have a fear of them. So how do you combat that fear that they think us black men are, we're dangerous, we're murderers, we're rapists? How do you get to these officers to help try to change that type of attitude so that we don't continue to see the violence against black men, innocent black men?
That's a good question, Vanessa. I think that first you have to build a relationship with the police chief. And the police chief has to believe that training the officers in conflict resolution and or behavior modification is a good thing, you know, and building relationships with, you know, with the community so that fear can be reduced because, you know, they do have a fear. I believe they do. You know, that's one of the reasons why these things are happening.
In some of these cities, like even though in Baltimore we now have a black chief, but in some cities they have a white chief. How do you connect with him and get to him to show him the importance of working with the community? And then the other side of that, how can we get the community to learn to trust these police officers?
How do you get the community to trust the police officers?
Yeah, how can we get the community to begin to trust the police officers? Because that has to be key. It has to be trust from police officers with us, and then we are in turn have to trust. But how do we get that?
First and foremost, and this is just my, you know, my humble opinion that I tell people in my conflict resolution sessions. Anything that I say, please go and research it for yourself to get more information and get more knowledgeable for yourself when it comes to conflict resolution. But what we do in conflict resolution, the skills that you learn to reduce your own conflicts is where we start. So a person really has to get to know themselves first and foremost to reduce the conflicts that they are in instead of waiting for a third person, which we call the mediator, to reduce the conflict. Because every person that gets into a conflict, we have two people in a conflict, you know, there's not always going to be a third person to come mediate your conflict. So you have to learn different skills and techniques to reduce the conflict that you're in yourself. So I don't really believe the part where, these broad questions of how do the community and police start, you know, that's too broad for me. I figure that's the start with more stuff, you know, getting that knowledge of learning those skills and techniques for themselves.
Those questions actually kind of disturb me. I know you're the professional at this, so you have to take those. But for me, externally, I always look at it like this. If I have to, I can't justify your actions by giving you an excuse. So I can't say, how do I make relationships better with the police officer in the community? Because if the police officers were from the community, they would have a different mentality towards the people who they're supposed to protect and serve. At some point, we've turned a corner in society where the police officer think they're faking military, you know, so they're getting that confused of what a military does opposed to what a police officer or a peace officer is supposed to be doing. They got it twisted, so they're playing war games with people who don't look like them. Now, in Manhattan, in the same district as, well, actually this happened in the Bronx, but a police officer, Pedro Serrano, who testified in Manhattan court last week, he secretly recorded Deputy Inspector Christopher McCormick telling him to stop the right people at the right time at the right location, and this is at the Bronx precinct. Now, Serrano can be heard on that tape voicing suspicion, and he said McCormick is heard saying, I have no problem with telling you this, male blacks, and I told you at roll call, I have no problem telling you this, male blacks from 14 to 21. So he taped his superior officer, brought it into court, and said that he recorded him because he received unsatisfactory performance reviews for failing to meet monthly quotas of 20 summonses and 5 stop and frisk in New York. So even though it's the mayor's policy, and it's the policy to stop and frisk, you have people inside the precincts making that requirement of some of the officers. But this officer is kind of, I wouldn't say he's in trouble, but, you know, the officers are calling him a rat and all this other stuff because they're making him do something illegal that he's not supposed to do. To me, it was just kind of like a slap in the face. I don't know if you heard that story, Finesse. Did you hear about that story yet?
Yeah, I did hear about that story.
Say, in the spirit of the conversation that we had about Charles Barkley and Kenny Smith and all of that stuff, when we talk about other people stepping up to the plate when something happens to young black folks, that it's a village that needs to kick in. You mentioned early in the show music artist John Legend and his wife, model and food blogger Christy Teigen, I guess is her name. They came out with a genius idea to free the protesters via a food truck through their Operation Help or Hush at Union Square in New York City for the Pound Ferguson family this Sunday. And then the Operation Help or Hush is an online activist organization that grew organically on Twitter after the death of Michael Brown. And it says it puts a new spin on the old school organization through organizing organizers, buying supplies for signs, providing travel expenses, and sustaining protests through food. So its website also says that it's dedicated to leveraging resources for the underserved. So when we start talking about what somebody else is doing, now we have other people kicking in and starting new movements to make sure that if this happens again, that we are not just going to remain quiet. So I'm wanted to kind of follow up with what you said earlier in the show with, you know, some of the, you know, musicians and athletes like Derrick Rose, you know, wore his warm-up shirt before a game that had I Can't Breathe on it. Rose also was joined by LeBron James, who made a statement last week about the incidences and said he encouraged other athletes to get involved and to speak out about many social problems being faced by our society, particularly those that impact young black men. That came from LeBron. So it's interesting that you said that about the commissioner of the NBA when you have two of their biggest stars actually making statements.
Right. And I want to go back. What I'm about to say goes into what you're talking about, but also talks about getting involved. I would like to see us getting more involved in our neighborhood watches and our neighborhood meetings to find out what's going on in the neighborhood, you know, try to come up with solutions for things that we see wrong in the neighborhood. But also you have to keep an eye on who's watching your neighborhood. For example, we had our business association meeting today, and we had this new supposedly police force or security force, and his plan, he said, was that they've been implementing it over the last couple of weeks, where they were just going up to people who they thought were suspicious and getting their names, numbers, and then running it in to see if they had any warrants. Well, today I put a stop to it through Black Media and said, I asked him,
well, it's illegal for one.
It's a violation
of their freedom.
We went through all that, but when I asked him, was he screening people? That wasn't a word I used, but isn't it illegal to be screening people? How do you know who's what? So,
right.
As far as us being Black and Black Media, because we're in that area, we put a stop to that right away. Was, nah, you're not going to be going through here just asking people because you think they look suspicious. So by us being involved, now he's like, well, let's get together and work, and how can we work on this? So that's, I say that to say that we need more of us to be involved in our community to report on what's wrong in our community. Be honest, what's wrong? Try to come up with some solutions, and then keep an eye on who's in our area. You know, just don't let somebody come in and patrol and not watch what they're doing.
Sean, did you want to jump in there?
Yes, I want to respond right quick pertaining to the question that Finesse asked earlier, and then I'll speed it up to what we're talking about now. You know, when you asked about the community and police relations, you know, we got to think about it. You know, when two people have a conflict, you know, they have a misunderstanding and a disagreement. And sometimes we think that the police is on the same page as the community, you know, or I should say all police. There are some police that really don't really care if violence is reduced. That's based on their experience, based on where they live, based on the television shows they watch, the movies or what have you. That's just the way they think.
Mm-hmm.
And if that is the case, then the only thing we should be worried about is dealing with the police that are willing to change their mindset and learn more about conflict resolution and learn more about the community and put the police that want to work in the community,
right,
that want to get to know the community and work with the community. For the ones that don't want to do that, then they can go somewhere else and work.
That's right.
But we have to come up with that system. These are systems that are being created for us to be a part of. You know, and the only way to get away from that system, or the only way to create our own system, is to come up with those solutions. So we can't keep asking them what the solution is, because they would never come up with the solution for us. We have to come up with the solution for ourselves. And I'm not mad at that. I'm not mad at that at all. I just understand that. You know, so on the basis of the conflict resolution piece, even going back a little bit more, excuse me, when Vanessa was talking about, you know, the movie piece. We need your opinion, Vanessa, when it comes to movies, because this is what you do. So even if the movie gets a negative review, we need to hear that from you. We need to hear that because we trust your opinion on that. You know, I don't know how long. What's them two guys' name? Herbert and Street Score or
Cisco and Ebert? Yeah.
Yeah,
and they're both dead.
I don't know how many years I used to watch them every Sunday or Saturday or something, and I'm sitting there listening to them guys, and I'm like, man, I'm not going to see that movie because they didn't like it, you know?
Yeah.
So, yes, we do need that from you, you know, when it comes to your opinions on these movies.
And that's why I flipped it. You'll get reviews for movies that I feel you should see versus talking about, because how everything is measured now is through social media, be it good or bad. So if you get a bunch of eyeballs seeing this and seeing that, that's good. That's good for that brand. So knowing this, I said, let me flip it. Let me talk about the movies that are good that they're not talking about. You know, and for instance, the new Whitney Houston movie. I got to plug this now since he gave me an opening. The new Whitney Houston movie is coming out on I believe it's Lifetime, January 17th. I've already got the screener, and I'm going to watch it. And what people don't know is the movie's not going to be dealing with Whitney's life per se, but it's going to be dealing with the time with her and Bobby, when she met Bobby, their marriage, and how their marriage was. And it's directed by Angela Bassett. That's something I would definitely make sure I talk about, because we need to hear that from somebody that doesn't understand that relationship, or didn't understand that music, or didn't understand who they were. So that's one I'll be making sure I talk about for us to go out and support. You know, so that's what I did. I flipped the whole thing versus I'm not going to be like everybody and just review movies. I can review movies all day. I get them, and I can review movies all day. But I have to set myself aside, especially when it comes to black media and my readers, to make sure that I get them the type of movie that represent us, the brand, and tell the truth. So that's why I do it differently. That's why you won't hear me talk about Exodus.
You know, I meant to bring up Whitney's movie, the Whitney movie, but I didn't want to bring it up with the negative that we was talking about the Aaliyah movie with. So kind of slipped my mind.
Yeah, you know, Sean brought it up in a way because he was talking about y'all need me to watch movies. So
yeah.
It was perfect. I understood that. Yeah, I understood what you were doing.
Okay. All right. So on that note, you know, I just want to acknowledge there was a couple more athletes that I didn't talk about. Reggie Bush wearing his shirt with the phrase "I can't breathe" on it. He plays for Detroit, right? The Lions.
Yeah,
and,
he plays for the Lions.
Yep, and Cleveland Browns cornerback Johnson Besimani, or I think is the last name. He wore that on his warm-ups on Sunday. So when people take brave steps to step out of norm, we should probably acknowledge them, because they're getting all heck. I know they're probably getting all kind of heat right now. And on that note, let me go to the phone lines. We have Lavinia on the line. Lavinia has been missing for a minute. We've been missing Lavinia, but I won't say nothing. How are you doing?
Yeah.
Welcome to Black on Black.
How's everyone doing
her,
tonight?
I miss Lavinia saying, "You've been muted."
Oh, that's right. You got to put her back on the board. You have
been
muted.
I have a feeling I'm going to be saying that tonight, though, so you won't be missing it for long.
Finesse has not done anything to warrant a mute. He's batting 1,000 right now.
Well, he's due for one then.
Oh,
believe you me, I've got some picked out. Don't worry.
Actress Jada Pinkett Smith posted on her Facebook that she woke up with a stroke of insight about how to end police brutality in the country. Now, according to her, if black people work to end violence in their own community, then that action would stand out in stark contrast to the actions of brutality being committed against them. She believes this will serve as a strategic tool against police brutality. She said, "I finally grasped a deep understanding of nonviolence. Of the nonviolence movement of Dr. Martin Luther King and Gandhi, the nonviolence spoke louder than any words could have, because the choice of nonviolence illuminated and therefore heightened the atrocities that were being committed within their community," is what she explained. So she said, "This illumination created an undeniable effect of change, and maybe it is peace that is deeper than communication with the spirit of humanity that resides in us all." I just wanted to finish it because I can't really cut Jada up for this, because personally I kind of think I know you are. I understand where she's coming from. I don't agree with it on the ground at all. But since she's been on the ground, Jada is not sheltered. So I am going to say this to her higher self. That is pretty much true when you live with all of the full amenities, but when you're just getting shot dead in the street, I don't think being quiet is going to help you, because it hasn't helped us so far. So I will let Lavinia go first on this one.
I mean, when I first heard it, the first thing I was hearing, well, if we police ourselves and stop committing crimes, then there will be no police brutality. Well, it's like, well, yeah, no crimes. We ain't got to call nobody to come out here and take care of it. unfortunately, the problem is that you've got a lot of these white guys who are coming from outside these neighborhoods, outside of the areas. They're living in the suburbs. They already have a preconceived notion about what black people are, how they are. So then they come into the police force expecting already the worst. And then when they do get called, it's always for something negative for the most part. They're never coming in for something positive. So that kind of enforces that negative stereotype that they already have. Now, can we get some sort of sensitivity training? No. What's going to happen is that we're going to, as a community, have to, like I guess Jade said, is we have to police ourselves, which means that we need to make sure that we have us in the police department. Now, Bugetto said that Baltimore, for example, they're hungry for police officers, but black people don't want to be police officers for a number of reasons. So then you're stuck with these white guys who want a job, and they're coming from the surrounding counties and coming and working in the neighborhoods with people that they're already scared of. She told a story about how this one guy, he was a rookie cop, and he thought he was hot for being able to take down this black kid, but he was 14. He's a 14-year-old kid, but to him, look at him. He was so muscular. He was so strong and so fast, and I took him down. It's like we got to be able to get to a place, one, where we are raising up people to take an interest in policing our communities, and that means taking positions within police departments in our communities. And also we have to work from the government standpoint. We've got to raise people who are going to be interested in running for political offices in our neighborhood. There's no reason why, for example, in Ferguson, where the population is predominantly black, that you have a predominantly white city council and mayor. So we have to take a responsibility to want to get people involved in politics so that we can have a seat at the table, so to speak.
A lot of that stuff comes from oppression, right? Black people don't even trust black people because of the fact that white folks constantly, and I mean this when we talk about television and images and all of that stuff, black people sometimes don't trust black people. It is the beauty of what I think diversity training is. Diversity training is only taught to minorities, and that's to keep white folks in power. They never teach white folks diversity training, although there are more minorities in the, you know, growing in the country. They never teach them to deal with everybody fairly. They only teach the oppressed people that they, you know, when you get in place, you need to be fair to everybody. And that's how you keep power in an oppressive way. But finesse, you know, I'll let you jump in on this.
When I heard Jada speak again, you said of her higher self, I thought of how they just legalized in California, because what she said sounded like she was in some room high.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, new black.
And you knew there was a flag in it for him someplace.
Because I don't have a problem with, we have to police. I understand that we should police ourselves. We know that, and I do believe we have to have dialogue with everybody that's in the community. Our community only works when everybody is talking and functioning and working together. But when you have everything, and she has a black son, I don't care if his last name is Smith. If he walked that street at night, he's going to get treated just like you or I would get treated. He's going to get pulled over to the curb. He could become the next Trayvon. It doesn't matter. There has to be a way where we have to get across that it's not okay to just have views about black men in America, because that's the issue. And as we talked about yesterday, since President Obama has been in office, there has been a blatant disrespect of black men in America, whether they have power or whether Lavinia just said in Baltimore. And Baltimore is, I'm here. So I hear what she's saying, because I just talked to one of the police chiefs. They want to advertise in our paper because they're trying to recruit more minorities. So when you have, you know, these police officers, you know, accosting these 14-year-old boys, they don't see the difference. So we have to teach that there is value. We have to teach our young black males you can't do certain things. There just has to be dialogue across the board. You just can't say, you know, that if we stop doing violence or we police ourselves, that the police are not going to be doing violence against us. That's crazy.
And here's where I think that's crazy. We can't police ourselves because we pay taxes. So if you take a job and here's your job description, you should not be dividing us up by race anyway. So every time I hear white officers or the Police Benevolent Association or Patrolman's Benevolent, wherever you live, whenever I hear those nuts say stuff like that, I realize you might have to just go through and fire all of those people who've been there. Because if you believe that it's us against them, when them are paying you to protect the people who you're killing, exactly. We need to either, A, go back and find out where, you know, when Abraham Lincoln cut off our 40-acre and a mule stuff, we need to start talking reparations again if they want to have a us against them, because we are paying inside of a pool that we're not getting any services for. So this is a blatant disrespect of taxation without representation. And I think it was some popular white fella that said that that's tyranny, wasn't me.
And Jada, if you're listening,
well,
please feel
I
free.
I want to say this about Jada.
Wait a minute. Let me get mine in first. Jada, please feel free to send me whatever you smoking to 555 Baltimore, Maryland.
Oh, God. Don't send him that. Don't send it, Jada, because which Jada must have must be something really good. But the only reason I don't want to jump on Jada too much is since we lost Maya Angelou, we need hope in the world. So I never jump on Maya Angelou for saying stuff like that. So I'm going to leave Jada on as a replacement to our higher selves. And by the way, native New Yorker Alicia Keys released early her video for We Gotta Pray. She talked about her feelings about the unrest in the wake of police brutality and rampant racism, but she used clips of photos from the protests in Ferguson to Palestine. She had messages in there from, you know, Martin Luther King and Gandhi.
No.
So she did pretty much the same thing where Alicia Keys is saying pray and Jada Pinkett is saying let's be better so that people don't beat us. That just sounds like a really bad message right now, so I'm kind of making fun of it. But I respect them, so I won't jump on them too much.
Well,
Sean,
you know, it's funny,
you talk
about this because I was just listening to Kanye West's song this morning, Jesus Walks. If you go back and listen to those lyrics, he predicted a lot of this that we see going on today. And, again, that whole message of prayer.
About,
I'm just talking about Kanye West
Diamond,
and the
right?
song. I ain't talking about Kanye West and everything
else. Oh, yeah, okay.
Oh, no.
Make Kanye
just
a prophet.
Just the song.
Okay. All right, Sean, I know you wanted to get it here.
I think Jada has a point to a point. I think if we look at in the present time, a lot of people want to talk about Martin Luther King and Gandhi, and they should, respectfully. But I think for some reason, in our own time, we don't look at October 16th, 1995, on the Million Man March as a peaceful event. But it was a peaceful event. It was a peaceful event to a point where we knew, you know, as men and women, that this day was for us and by us and everyone else, for us to recognize that we need to atone for our own sins so things could be better after that day. So it's very important,
right,
I believe, to look at, you know, to look at things that are happening in our own time and learn from that and look at it as more of a solution so things can be better. Not just think about them being better, but be better.
Speaking of the Million Man March, I always think about that to say there are those of us who went kind of hold on to our experience there pretty tightly, right? And there's the people who didn't go who are cynical. So those people who went, who actually have some understanding of it, never talk about it, because the cynical folks who stayed home is almost kind of, I don't know what the word is, but we try not to bring people along to peace, right? Because technically the first thing that comes out of people's mouth is, well, what happened after that? But we're taught to be so cynical that people can't see what kind of good came out of it. The National African American Parent Involvement Day that happens throughout the country in school districts. That guy created that coming right out of Million Man March. But some people can't see it because they want to believe that nothing came out of it.
Well, you know, you guys talked about films and me reviewing films. I'd reviewed the film about the Million Man March that just was released, I think, in October. And it tells the whole history why it happened, how it happened. It spoke and answered the truth of the Million Man March, because there was a lot of lies and deceit concerning that. And for people who did not go, who were either shamed into not going, weren't sure what to expect, they could purchase that video now, even though it's not the same as being there, but still you can get the gist of it and you can get the truth, and you need to pick up that DVD because it's one of the great documentaries I've seen in 2014.
Ridley Scott didn't cast the Million Man March, did he? Because I'm sure Ridley Scott.
Nah, he couldn't find black people to play the part in the Million Man March. That's what, according to Ridley Scott.
It's Michael Keaton as Mr. Farrakhan. That's gonna be nice. Like, it's just not gonna really. I know he's a good actor. I'm not sure he's going to be able to pull this one off. Now, I just want to go into the world of news and entertainment. I know we're close to the bottom of the hour, so I just want to do this. Black-owned media company sued AT&T for $10 billion this week. It claimed that AT&T shut it out of a deal with AT&T and their co-defendant, DirecTV, for racial reasons after they bought the satellite company for $67 billion. The National Association of African-American-Owned Media sued on behalf of one of its members who owns 7 channels. They produce 32 television series and a library of thousands of hours of programming. And the association claims that AT&T and DirecTV refused to carry the majority of its programming except for one channel, in which they pay no carrying fees for. So out of all of those stations on your cable, AT&T and DirecTV do not want to pay any 100% African-American-owned media, is what the complaint states. It's in court now. Approximately $2 billion DirecTV spent on advertising annually. 100% African-American-owned media receives less than $1.5 million a year. So they won't even advertise on the black networks. In their court documents, they're saying this has been done, amongst other things, is to use token or window dressing African-American celebrities to pose as fronts or owners of channels which are truly owned by white media. And by the way, they're shams of diversity agreements with non-media groups and individuals, what the lawsuit says. So a lot of people don't know that OWN, for example, Oprah's network, is actually owned by Discovery. It's just a 50-50 partnership agreement. And she's a partner with Discovery. But Discovery Channel can take her off the air anytime they want to. They own that network. Oprah doesn't own it.
You know what? That makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense, because when OWN first came out, there was a lot of old Discovery Channel programs that I would see on there. And I'm like, why am I watching OWN when I could just watch Discovery Channel and get more current and up-to-date things? And that makes perfect sense. Now I understand. That's why we watch Trading Places for the first two years of
Yeah. Well, remember, Discovery Channel was going to take that from Oprah if she didn't turn it around. And she said she had to stop doing whatever, all the other stuff she was doing, to concentrate on that so that wouldn't happen.
And
she was losing money.
The second year of OWN, they owed Discovery Channel about $30 million. They were $30 million in the hole. So the CEO of Discovery came out and said to Oprah, to the OWN network folks, because they were actually speaking on behalf of OWN. So you could tell who owns it when they get ready to pull the plug. So the CEO of Discovery came out and said that since Sweetie Pies was the highest rated show ever on OWN, and you got to remember OWN started with, you know, Dr. Phil and Lisa Ling reports and Deepak Chopra kind of shows that Oprah liked. After Sweetie Pies, as a reality show, came on there, it was the highest rated show ever on OWN. And the Discovery Channel CEO said, we are going to have more African-American programming. So that's where Tyler Perry came in. Oprah brought Tyler Perry in after Discovery Channel CEO said, we need more black programming on OWN.
And they made Oprah do another show, because she was the brand. It's sort of like her magazine.
Oh, yeah.
Whenever she wasn't on the cover of the magazine didn't sell. So that's why you see Oprah always on the cover of her magazines.
Yep.
the truth is we need to have conversations to so people can educate and say, well, why is it important that we support black media, not just financially, but by subscribing, by listening, by watching. And it doesn't matter if it's internet-based or if it's terrestrial-based. We just need to support.
Now, Sean, I know you didn't comment on this, but I don't know if you wanted to comment on the media side of this, of that story. I'm not sure if you heard it before.
No, I haven't heard that before. No, I haven't. I do know that Oprah was saved by Tyler Perry and, you know, his creativeness. It just goes to show you that, you know, black people can work together.
Yeah.
It's not right there, you know. So instead of going against the grain of, you know, black people can't, or the myth of black people can't work together, as we talk about the police department, the community police officers, so forth and so on, we have to keep in mind that that we have to erase that myth that we can work together and we can come up with solutions for our own issues and problems and concerns. That's important to note.
Yeah. Now, this is going to be a crime. We've done this story before, and you probably heard me yell about this. But a federal judge that is not inclined to rule in favor of Pharrell Williams and Robin Thicke in that court battle with Marvin Gaye's estate and Funkadelic music publisher over Blurred Lines. Last year, you know, Robin Thicke sued Marvin Gaye's estate in federal court, insisting that the song was not a ripoff from Marvin Gaye's Got to Give It Up or the Funkadelic's Sexy Ways. And the lawsuit also named the publisher of Bridgeport Music, Frankie Kristen Gaye, Marvin Gaye III, Nona Gaye, as defendants. Robin Thicke sued them and then came out and said he didn't write it. That's how arrogant that fool was. So a federal judge ruled that they're not throwing it out and that they can go back and sue Robin Thicke.
See, that's why Paula's with me today. That's what you get, Rob.
See, that is not a cry. I wasn't going to bring Paula in this, but, you know, if you want to be that much of a punk, that's arrogance. And that's what I'm saying, like when you overstep your bound in arrogance. He sued them for a song that he didn't make, and then he comes back and says, oh, yeah, I didn't write it anyway. So think
well,
that
then he tried
Pharrell
to,
and I...
Then he tried to throw Pharrell underneath the bus. He said Pharrell wrote it.
Yeah. Oh, no, here's what Robin Thicke said. Pharrell and I was in the studio. I told him that one of my favorite songs of all time was Marvin Gaye's Gotta Give It Up. That's what he said in an interview. And he said, I was like, damn, we should make something like that, something with a groove. But in his deposition, Thicke said that he overplayed his part in the creation of the song and he was too drunk on Vicodin when he recorded it. But he did tell Pharrell that, but we didn't steal his song.
Let me tell you something. Anybody who know music, just a little bit, knew that song was a Marvin Gaye song. Ain't nobody that dumb.
Anybody who DJed definitely knew.
Yeah, the Muppets knew that it was a Marvin Gaye song.
Oh, gosh. Anybody who had an ounce of DJing experience who can mix two songs together knew that was that song.
And that's why I didn't like that song. I never liked that song. I have never liked that song.
Hey, he tried to sell it like they ain't had nothing to do with it. But, again,
well,
federal justice.
It went platinum. And Pharrell know better. How are you going to steal from Marvin? Come on, man.
You're wrong for that. All right.
That's like
now,
Ice Ice Baby all over again.
Exactly.
Did you see that coming, that Milli Vanilli thing? And
Vanilla, I think.
Where is Suge Knight when you need him?
Right, you shake down. Because he knocked Ice Ice Baby off of, was it David Bowie? And he said that the difference was, he said, David Bowie's song goes, dun 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 dun. But my song goes, dun 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 dun.
All right,
oh, yeah, that's
I should
not
be
the
laughing.
Song.
Yeah. It doesn't even sound close. It's about a half a beat, a skip, like a beat different. Now,
exactly.
And that's why people get hung from the 44th floor.
No, guys. Here's a story about a party held, you guys may hear this in the news, and you may not because it just came out, but held by Sigma Alpha Epsilon, a fraternity, on this past Saturday near Clemson University's campus in South Carolina, showed white students throwing up stereotypical gang signs like we know they do, and photos of parties like flooded the social media. They were accompanied with Merry Crip-mas to all and to all a hood night. So they did a Crip-mas that appear to be, you know, again, the Crips of California. I don't know why year after year that we go after this, but we're doing something wrong in this country that adolescent white folks think that they could do this every Halloween and every time they do something that putting on blackface is cool.
Go see,
and weren't they wearing
people
red bandanas?
Yeah.
How the
yeah.
hell are you
sure
going to be
Merry
Christmas and you got on red bandanas? At least get it
they
right.
They don't know what a
Christmas
is.
Hey, listen. Go watch.
They didn't do that
research. Go watch Dear White People because it addresses that too. I got a movie for
go
that.
Go watch. Oh, Dear White People?
Dear White People. Yes. Another one of my top films of 2014.
They need to watch a lot of films. Drop Squad is one I can think of right offhand. That's just me.
Just don't go see X or Not.
Yeah, we won't say anything about that movie. All right. So I want to thank everyone for joining us. This is Black on Black Crime. We'll be back next week. See you next week on the show. Next week.
Wrong thing.
Hey, all right, Sean. So